Okay, so this is a mindfulness acceptance meditation called Relaxing the Overcontroller. Originally written by Tara Brach, and I've adapted it. So what I'd like you to do is just take the first few moments, close your eyes, and focus on your breathing. Breathe nice and deep and slow, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathe in nice and deep and slow, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Just trying to bring yourself back into this moment, into the chair, into contact with your body and the furniture wherever you sit, your feet in contact with the floor if they are, your arms, your legs, your back. Really focus on the movement of the air coming in through your nose and out through your mouth. Really experience the wonderful sense of release you feel as you let that breath all the way out. Good. When we take a moment to get in contact with the moment we're in, when we look around us rather than getting sucked up in our busyness, we can stand back and we can question things. We can question our emotions, our behaviors. We can question feelings, triggers, thoughts, beliefs, and even deeper values. We can question even bigger things like what is love and how did the universe get created? What are black holes? Wondering about the season we're in. And allowing our minds to float with the mysteries of what's around us. We often don't do this. We don't often stand in awe of the things around us. And yet in our daily lives, we're rushing around, doing things, going places, being somebody, acting with a certain kind of certainty, like we know exactly what we're doing, who we are, or where we're going. But all of this closes us off to comprehending the mystery that we're living in, the mystery all around us. When we get too busy, we lose sight of where we truly are and where we are going. Our human minds have a very hard time just hanging out with the groundlessness, the impermanence of the changing world, our changing lives, our changing selves. We immediately make meaning to everything, and we really have a hard time with the fact that our existence is temporary. So rather than living in the acceptance of our temporary existence, its ever-changing nature, our living and dying world, we clamp down, we do, we plan, we get rigged in to control things, predict with our mind. We try to hold on to what is pleasant and push away what is unpleasant. And what we find is in the moments of controlling, we can't really experience what is right here in this moment. Sometimes we're so busy managing our life, we cover up the great mystery that we're involved in. So how do we do that? What are some of the ways we try to control everything? We tighten through our bodies, and that is one way. We create an illusion of control in our minds with our constant thinking and busyness. It's as if we're trying to stay so busy. There's an illusion we're taking charge. We worry and we obsess. We try to hold on to our possessions as it gives us a sense of control. We hold on to our plans as if they're real. We worry, we obsess, we fixate. If we really shine a light on who we are taking ourselves to be, there are so many moments that in some ways we are the one trying to manage things. We are the one trying to make it through the day, trying to take care of the problems, trying to navigate. And you're likely thinking, don't we have to control some things? Don't we have to make a living? Have shelter? Enable our children to go to school? To take care of themselves? Protect ourselves? And so on? Of course. But this isn't about trying to manage things where we can, it's about over control. Suffering occurs when our control strategies are on all the time, or a whole lot of the time, and we forget who is looking through the mask. Our identity gets fused with our over-controlling. We forget the tender heart space that is here, the awareness, the consciousness, the now. We get identified as the human who is doing versus the human who is being, who is experiencing. We identify with being the controller, we lose contact with the present moment. We have an agenda that's so tight, we're not living life that is right here. So now we'll take a moment to pause, because this over-controlling, this identity fused with controlling, was thinking it was listening to a talk about meditation so it could get through the next moment or hour. But as it happens, if you just close your eyes, and just allow yourself to be in the moment, whatever the moment is. Not trying to force it to be other than it is. You're relaxing the over-controller. You're diffusing with this identity of you. Even with a good intention, we're still doing something. But what if we just relax for a moment to just be? To just inhabit this moment, to just inhabit you for who you are in this moment. And just notice how quickly you get pulled into an idea or thought, and just notice. And yet in the space between the thoughts, when we're not activated in doing, thinking, solving, in that resting space, in that pause, the light of the universe begins to shine in. This is the being. This is diffusing from the over-controller, separating, this is the being. This is really the source of vitality, creativity, love, and vision. Our suffering comes when we miss out on being, when we're caught in the over-controller, fused with an identity, a plan. Our soul isn't nourished. So how do we know when we're caught in the over-controller, when we're suffering? One thing is we find we're exhausted. We're fighting, ruminating, planning, strategizing, scheming, anticipating. We get hooked into the identity of who we think we need to be and where we think we need to go. We lose sight of what's going on around us. There's no breathing room. We're spinning. There's nowhere the light of the universe can shine in. There's no rest. It's too fast. It's tiring to be always managing. Kelly McGonigal, in her book, The Willpower Instinct, describes willpower, self-control, this controlling ego, as a kind of muscle that when you use it too much, it gets tired. Every moment that you're in it, in some way, using that muscle, you're getting tired. And you run into exhaustion. It needs to be rested. And of course, when we are overdoing, over-controlling, over-fixing, over-preparing, over-protecting, it's not just exhaustion. It's a spiral into a myriad of somatic illnesses that can be life-threatening. Anxiety, depression, stroke, heart failure, diabetes. The over-controller is addicted to doing, fixing, rescuing. Thinking of the myth of Sisyphus. We're pushing that boulder up the hill, just watching it roll down. Sisyphus, just doomed to do it over and over again. And even though our doing, controlling self might say, but I have to do this, I must do it, I should do it. This needs to get done. The over-controller is always overdoing, it's always pushing boulders. And it doesn't know, it doesn't need to push. The suffering of the over-controller is exhaustion. Just always being on, cut off from creativity. Take a moment now as I'm quiet to think about the myriad of ways you've been exercising the over-controller in your life. Just in the quiet of your mind, at work, see yourself as Sisyphus pushing that boulder up the hill. See all the boulders, see the size of the boulder, see how many times you push the boulder up the hill. See your exhaustion, feel it, Notice the toll it's taken on you. Notice how habitual it has become, how automatic. The more you push, the more you do, the less of you there is. What is the belief you have of yourself that drives you to push that boulder up the hill over and over again? Where did that belief come from? What is the belief you have of your future that drives you to push that boulder up the hill over and over again? How long ago did you leave yourself behind? What is the belief you have about yourself in the past that now drives you to push that boulder up the hill? What if you stop? Are there other areas of your life, perhaps at home, where you can identify the over-controller, the doer, the fixer, the rescuer? What are the beliefs you have of yourself? Of the future, of the past, that leads you to adopt this role? Is there a different belief you can adopt now that might be more balanced? That takes you out of the busyness of the over-controller, the fixer, the doer, the rescuer. What is that belief? When thoughts of your son Pharaoh come to mind, how is the over-controller, the fixer, the doer taking over? How is the over-controller getting in the way of you just sitting with your sadness, your loneliness, your emptiness? What is the over-controller trying to make you believe, think, do, as it pertains to Pharaoh? If you stopped, what would you be afraid of? Are you still trying to fix, do, rescue? The over-controller in general cuts us off from people, cuts us off from experiences, because we always have an agenda. Feel like we need to do things to please people to get respect. Unless we're performing, we have no value. But the over-controller actually disconnects us from people. When the over-controller is on, we can't be intimate with our own life because we're in controlling mode, we're in judging, we're trying to change things, fix things, make them different. When we're filled with worries and plans, we're trying to manage things. How can you really be in touch? As long as we're trying to figure out how to escape the present moment, we can't notice much about it. Only when we feel it, now, and how it is, whatever it is, regardless of whether you like it, want it, without any clutching towards something different, will our intelligence really come alive. See your moment as it is, see your reality as it is, not as you want it to be. Just be with the moment. The over-controller is often driven by fear. It's afraid of something going wrong. It needs to protect. Driven by grasping, wanting, yearning, the fear of losing. And therefore it's cut off. The trick is to see the over-controller, not from the over-controller. To see the temptations, the beliefs, the habits, to see the moment from it, to see the moment from it and relate to it, to see the over-controller trying to take charge, but not see from it singularly. Recognize it, step aside from it. Recognize the urges, the emotions, the temptations, the beliefs. Relate to it, notice it. But don't get sucked into seeing the world through those eyes. part of the overcontroller is conditioning. Conditioning to try to manage. And this is the universal part of being human. Everyone around you is conditioned. Relate to the controller with kindness. It's a human condition. With patience, with humor, with appreciation, and with perspective. It's trying to help you in an odd sort of way. It's an old habit you've carried forward. It's just not doing it the most strategic way. And the way it was working has stopped working. Relate to it, but not from it. Notice it, but don't let it guide you. Imagine Sisyphus just deciding to let the boulder go. Causes anxiety. Relate to it, but not from the anxiety. Notice the anxiety. Notice the worries, but don't relate from them. Believe them. Imagine the space that opens up when you stop pushing the boulder. The possibilities, the questions. We don't have to keep pushing so much. Explore this witnessing, this observing more closely in your life. The overcontroller is actually causing the greatest amount of suffering. And suffering comes when we resist experiencing the pain we're in that moment. Physical, emotional, psychological pain. When we resist experiencing it in that moment, we cause suffering, and that's the overcontroller. Pushing, running, planning to avoid feeling what we feel in that moment. And you can just notice, here it is. I'm doing that Sisyphus thing again. I'm being the overcontroller, noting to that to yourself with kindness, compassion, and acceptance, not judgment. And when you notice it, notice, there's a problem here. The problem is the mentality and the assumption. That's a problem, is things should be different. That should word is a problem. The should word is the key of the overcontroller. The overcontroller loves it, lives on it. It surrounds everything. You should be different. Life should be different. Should have turned out differently. It's an argument with reality. Because reality is reality, and it is just our addition that it should be different where suffering occurs. No matter how right we are, it's still an argument, and that is what the controller does. The controller has certainty about their options, about reality, and the more fear, the more certainty. These are signs to watch out for. If you know you're stressed and you lock in to a problem, to a certain way of thinking, a mentality, the shoulds, there's very little tolerance for uncertainty for what is. Worthwhile discovering about the world, even if it only teaches us we know very little. So there's another sign of the controller. When we think we're right, when we're certain. So noticing these shoulds, noticing the over-controller, noticing that attempt to push the boulder up the hill. Wherever you are, whenever it occurs, just notice that sometimes control strategies don't work. It cuts us off from what exists, cuts us off from our feelings, cuts us off from what is truly happening in the moment, cuts us off from our spontaneity, from our creativity. And it's exhausting. So to wrap this piece up, we're really looking at how we find the character of the over-controller. How does it appear in your life, in the different parts of your life? Remember that this is really the survival brain trying to make it. When we're in over-controlling mode, it's the survival brain driven by fear, anxiety, doubt, control. But there really is limited control. This is now down to reality. There is limited things that we can know, we can control. We can't control aging, sickness, and death. We can't control the inner weather systems, all the emotions, the thoughts, they happen. We can definitely can't control each other. We just can't. So we just can't. So how do we get that? If we go beyond the areas we control, we're in constant management mode. We are going to cover over the mystery of life, the beauty, the spontaneity, the truth of what's around you. Mary Oliver has a beautiful poem that addresses some of the questions that come about controlling and the misunderstandings. Because when I talk about not over-controlling, I don't mean being inactive or passive. It's in our nature to engage. It's in our nature to engage passionately, to take care of ourselves as well as we can, to take care of each other. So it's not about giving up. It's about knowing the limits and constantly sensing those in the moment. So in Mary Oliver's poem, she writes, "Everything I have ever learned in my lifetime leads me back to this, the fire and the black river of loss, whose other side is salvation, whose meaning none of us will ever know to live in this world. You must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends upon it. And when the time comes, to let it go, to let it go. To love what is mortal, to hold it to your bones, totally engaged, connected with this life, serving this life, and when it time is right, to let it go. When we stop holding on so much, when we relax, we're able to engage in the moment as it is in this life. You can simply let the boulder go. Put the oars of the boat aside, allowing the sail of the presence to unfurl and to guide you. Let the winds carry you and awaken to what's around you, to what really matters. Arresting in this moment, noticing what is all around you. So asking yourself, what boulders are you prepared to let go of, and in what way in this moment? You might sense a witness. The vantage point of this witness is your future self. Who you are when you're really most awake, most open-hearted, when you're truly calling on your highest self, the self you're evolving into, to be a witness to relaxing the over-controller. You're going to look through the eyes of your future self, the one who is more relaxed, more open, and more clear and awake. Allow yourself to come into this stillness for the moment. Imagine your future self where you're more relaxed, more confident. There's less effort. Look through these eyes, being more awake. See your future self. See what you're doing in this character. This compassionate future self, allowing whatever it is to be in that moment. Embracing the fear of the unknown. Embracing the partner beside you. Understanding the limits of your control. No longer squeezed by fear, anxiety, excessive effort, self-doubt. What happens as you put down the oars and you let the boulder go? Allow the sail to unfurl and guide you. Where do the winds take you? Just be right now where you are. A sense of stillness and aliveness, whatever it is. Sense the silence that is listening to sound. If there is no problem, what is here? Just being full with the tenderness of being at home where you are. And as you go through the days, the hours, the weeks to come, just notice the over-controller through the eyes of compassion, witnessing, observing. Notice the tension, the fear, the doubt, the anger. Sending a reminder to that place in you, inviting you to be in your being, in your moment, in the here and the now, into the stillness of what is this moment, whatever it is. Open-hearted to the pain, whatever it may be. So just taking a moment to come back to the sounds of the room around you. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and return to the room in your time and in your way.